Welcome to the September 27th edition of the First EPC Sermon Podcast. Today, while Pastor Jonathan is finishing up his time away with his family, we are blessed to hear from another gifted teacher, Elder Jim Harris, as he shares a lesson taken from Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3, in a sermon titled, Run the Race Well. Here's Jim.
Our class, Sunday school class, has been studying the book of Hebrews for the past several months. And if you were to ask some of my class members, they would swear it's been years. Keep in mind that there's 12 months in a year, therefore we could still be talking months if it has been at least 2 years. I think we have found as a class that this has been a very interesting and inspirational book. And this is my first time that I have ever taught all the way through the book of Hebrews. And I feel that it is a book that is worth your read and well worth your study. The grand theme of the book of Hebrews is the supremacy and finality of Christ. The author, who remains unknown to us, was a man who knew the Greek Old Testament extremely well. And he was a very gifted writer. And he wrote this epistle to a group of Jewish Christians who had never seen Christ, but yet had believed in Christ. Very much like you and me. It's thought that this group of Jewish Christians lived in the outskirts of Rome around the mid-60s A.D., and their conversion had brought extreme hardship, loss of employment, loss of property, and much persecution, with even more harsh persecution looming. The result of this persecution was that some of the believers were beginning to drift away, and even some of them had decided to go back to Judaism. The author was attempting to encourage these believers to remain strong in their faith in Jesus Christ so that they would receive the rewards that had been promised them. Even though this epistle was written many years ago, God meant it for each generation and each individual who reads this letter. For me, it simply shows how the Holy Scriptures are indeed alive and are directed to every group of believers. As one reads through the book of Hebrews, I think one will be impressed by the writing of this author as he points the Jewish Christians and us to Christ. In chapter 11, a chapter that many of us are familiar with, he presents what some call the Hall of Faith and what I prefer to call the Faith Hall of Fame. It's a dynamic chapter for each of us to read and to understand why these particular individuals were selected to be inducted into the Faith Hall of Fame. Following this chapter, we come to the passage that I want us to look at today. And that's Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Now, as a disclaimer, our class spent 2 separate Sundays discussing these 3 verses. And the youth mission trip to Mississippi used this particular passage as the focal passage for the trip, and Brad gave a wonderful devotional from this passage. So I apologize to those of you that have heard this material before, but I think this passage is well worth our time. Let's read the passage. We read in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The author, I think, is painting a beautiful picture in these verses. He's describing a race, a long race, which is being held possibly in a Colosseum, at least the beginning and the end, kind of what we might see in the Olympics. And it's not a sprint. It's a marathon, or even some might say it's an Ironman event. In a spiritual sense, it is a race that began for each of us when we came to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. The contestants are the author and the members of his flock, and by mutual faith, us. The stadium, if you can envision this, the stadium is filled with a great cloud of witnesses. Some of them are members of the Faith Hall of Fame, while others are those who have witnessed past races. Many of these are not live witnesses, but witnesses by the fact that their past lives bear witness in their persevering faith. And each of them looked down on those in the race with a kind face, nodding to the runners, encouraging them that they can do it because they have already accomplished and finished the race. And as the runners look at those gathered, each recognizes those gathered and the accomplishments that they, through faith, have made. For each runner in the race, which includes each of us, this is an overwhelming and encouraging scene. For us to realize the faith of those who came before us and of those who run with us is so helpful to us as we attempt to run our race. As a side note, each time we perform in front of an audience, especially those that we know, it inspires us to attempt to perform at a higher level. This is true for a physical race, for a sports event such as volleyball or football, or to deliver a message such as I'm attempting to do today, to play an instrument or to sing a song, or whatever it is we're expected to do. The audience, or an audience, a group of witnesses, bring out the best in us. And this is also true in our spiritual race. Whether we realize it or not, there are many who witness our spiritual race and are influenced by the manner we are walking or running with the Lord. And this should inspire us to attempt to run a better race for Jesus. Well, how are we to be successful in this, our spiritual race? I think this passage answers that question with a challenge that can be summarized in three imperatives. The first imperative is divest. As you go back and look at verse 1, it says, "Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." In terms of a race, this is saying we need to throw off any extra weight that would inhibit our ability to run well. So first, we need to divest ourselves of the sin that so easily entangles, which is exactly what sin does. There's a very apt allegory in nature that speaks to what sin does to us. Maybe some of you have seen it for yourself that when a fly lands on a sundew plant or possibly a Venus flytrap, a fly lands on one of the leaves, and as soon as it lands there, three crimson-tipped, finger-like hairs bend over and touch the fly's wings, holding it firmly in its grip. The fly, realizing that it's being held, begins to struggle to get away. But the more it struggles, all that is happening, it's being coated with an adhesive that keeps it there. Well, in the fly's mind, it thinks, well, this is not that bad, because what I'm tasting tastes very good. And as he continues there and becomes at the mercy of the plant, the edges of the leaf begin to fold inwardly, making a fist. And before long, the fly is no more. I think this is an excellent illustration of what sin does in our lives. It entangles us to the point that we become comfortable in it, even though it is sucking the spiritual life out of us. The sobering fact is that each of us have a particular sin that so easily entangles us. The sin that each of us individually are most likely to commit. It's not the same sin for all of us. We each have a particular weakness or a particular area in our life that we are most vulnerable. Think of the sins of the flesh that are described in Galatians 5. And those sins there are sexual immorality, lust, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, enmity, jealousy, fits of anger, laziness, pride, dissensions, divisions, envy, unthankfulness, drunkenness, and things like these. We need to rid ourselves of any and all of these types of sin. Secondly, we need to divest ourselves of anything that is a hindrance. And in some translation, it would read to throw off the weight that hinders. We must realize that not all hindrances are sins. In fact, a hindrance for one person may not be a hindrance at all for another. A hindrance is something otherwise good that weights one down spiritually. It could be a friendship. It could be an event, a sports event or an entertainment event. It could be a habit, a pleasure, something you enjoy doing, but it begins to take hold of you more than you want. Could be a job or even an honor. But if this otherwise good thing begins to drag you down, we must strip it away. The second imperative is run, as the latter part of verse 1 says, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. I think it's important that we notice that we're instructed to run the race marked out for each of us, which is unique for each person. Every race will be long, but some races are longer and more difficult than others. I may not be able to run the race that's marked out for someone else, nor they the one marked out for me. However, God will enable us both to reach the finish line, because He, God, is in the race with us. And we all want to be able to say with Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Note also that we need to run with perseverance. In the spiritual race that we're in, we must have the perseverance that is necessary for us to continue on in those difficult times. William Barclay defines perseverance as that determination, unhasting and unresting, unhurrying yet undelaying, which goes steadily on and which refuses to be deflected. Obstacles will not daunt it. Delays will not depress it. Discouragements will not take hope away. It will not halt, for discouragement from within, nor for opposition from without. So, as we run our spiritual race, if we're to run it well, this is the kind of perseverance that we need to have and that we need to demonstrate. Well, the question comes, how can we do this? By ourselves, we are not capable of doing it. And we do need to continue to realize that this isn't a short race. This isn't a sprint. It's not over in 10 seconds. Or if you get older, that same distance would take a few more seconds. But it's a marathon. And we must make ourselves do the third imperative, which is focus. We must focus on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith. I think an illustration of this comes from a story that I read. It said on August the 7th, 1954, at the British Empire Games that were being held in Vancouver, Canada, one of the greatest mile runs ever took place. It was touted to be the Miracle Mile because Roger Bannister and John Landy were the only two sub-4-minute milers in the world at that time. And Roger Bannister had planned out his strategy, and he decided that he would kind of relax on the third lap and then have everything that he had to use during that final lap. However, as they began the third lap, John Landy poured it on, stretching out an already significant lead. Well, Bannister realized this strategy is not going to work, so he began to adjust it pretty quickly. He increased his pace and began gaining on John Landy. And as they entered the bell lap or the final lap, they were tied. They were even. However, Landy began to run even faster. And Bannister tried to follow suit. And it was told later that Bannister felt that if Landy did not slow down, that he was not going to be able to catch him. He was going to lose the race. And as they turned for the final turn, the crowd began to roar. And this caused a problem for Landy because he could no longer hear the footfall of Bannister who was behind him. So he compulsively looked back to try to find out where he was. And taking his eyes off the finish line and losing the concentration of what he was doing. And Bannister launched his attack at that very moment and ended up winning the race by 5 yards. Had Landy maintained his focus on the finish line, who knows what might have happened? We need to remember that those who look away, who lose their focus on Jesus, will never finish well. We need to maintain our focus on Christ regardless of the circumstances that we're experiencing in our physical or spiritual life. One might again ask, well, how can you maintain that focus? And first, I would say that we need to continue to learn or relearn or be reminded of Christ through His Word. We need to read and reread the gospel so that we realize more about the way Christ lived His life, about all that He taught concerning what it means to be a believer and a follower of Him, about the faith that Christ lived out, and more about the trust He placed in God at all times, not only in those times of need. We must desire to be obedient to Him and to His teachings as we attempt to understand His desire for each of our lives. We need to fix our eyes and our heart on Christ, seeing how He loved and cared for people, that we can emulate Him. We need to put our complete faith in Jesus Christ and claim the promises that He made. We need to persevere in our faith. We need to be able to express joy in any trial that our race requires us to go through, just as Christ, who for the joy set before Him, endured the cross. We need to consider Him who endured such opposition from sinful men that we will not grow weary and lose heart. Christ gave us the example to follow, and He experienced the worst that man could possibly hand out, and yet He was faithful to God in everything that He did. We too must be faithful to Jesus Christ, who gave His life for us so that we could have everlasting life with Him. It is through our realization that of all that He experienced, that we will not grow weary or lose heart, and that we will finish successfully the race that is marked out for us. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Jesus Christ and all that He brings into our lives and the example that He gives. Lord, help us to understand and know Your Word, and that we will follow it, and that we will be successful in the race that You have marked out for us, that You will go with us every step of the way. For we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from God's Word. Tune in again next week for another sermon from the pulpit of First EPC in Anna, Illinois. Be sure and visit us on the web at www.firstepc.org or on Facebook at facebook.com/firstepc. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of First Evangelical Presbyterian Church of Anna, Illinois. Until next time, may God bless.